Welcome to Through the Seasons. I'm Megan Gilger, and today we're going to be gliding into December. I am so excited because we finally got our first snow, and it, like real snow, like the kind that sticks around for a little bit. And it's such a treat in November as a northerner to be able to pull out your skis. Like, today is the first day at many of the local ski hills, but the ski thing, I cannot explain to you what it changes about the winter, but not just downhill skiing, but cross-country skiing, any winter sports. Like, it is such a vital part to creating this relationship with winter that you don't even have to be that good at it. Some people actually, they do snowshoeing, which is fine too. And it still has the same sort of benefit of connecting with nature, warming up your body, getting a workout in outside that is in the elements, I think makes a massive difference in mental health in the winter. Staying inside, not moving, avoiding, even walking can be kind of challenging in the winter because it's like, oh my God, I'm not warming up. Like, this is hard. Everything's cold. I get it. I completely understand. But I would say anyone who lives in the north, if you have the physical capabilities, needs to find a way to get on a pair of skis, get in some snowshoes, whatever it might be for you, and get outside. Because this like one little burst of snow that actually stuck to the ground and stayed for a while, it's melting now, and hopefully we will see some more before Christmas. But I was just really reminded of the value of it. Like, I wrote in our newsletter this week, which you can go to megangilger.substack.com and check out today's Friday newsletter. It's just a free Friday newsletter. Every Friday I send out this newsletter. And it just is all about this week in life and what we can learn from nature, what we can learn from the seasons. It's just kind of setting all that around it. And then, you know, paid subscribers get a more robust, they get, you know, the information on how to pay attention, which is based on that quote from Mary Oliver about attention is the beginning of devotion. And then from her Upstream book, I'm sure that if you haven't, I'll put it in the notes, like where I explain some of that if you want to read it. And then on Wednesdays, I send out like sort of like an open-ended essay. Sometimes it's about, you know, something I'm learning in nature. Sometimes it's about, you know, life. Sometimes it's really random. And I think I'm going to start up an occasional additional free one that just kind of pops up once a month or so that relates to food and just sort of my inspiration, things that I'm noticing and how that relates to being a gardener, farmer sort of mentality. And I don't want to call myself a farmer because I am definitely not, but I run a market garden. So it's just a fancy way of saying you're farming, maybe with a little more hobby and a little bit more grace, but then being a full-on farmer. But I just wanted to share this newsletter today because it was just, it's about winter and beginning this connection to it. Because right now, as we are entering, today's the first day of December, and this month is all about grounding ourselves. Our paid subscribers have access to this full wheel where I describe the different correlations between one month to another and how it all relates and how it moves through the circle over and over and over again, and what each month offers us as an understanding of self and our life and being human. All of that. And for December, it's all about moving into this state of groundedness in ourself, which relates to hibernating and rest and dormancy and all these words that we can put around winter. And so many times we just avoid this sort of idea because when we ground ourselves, it can also sound a little bit isolating. Winter is about, you know, hibernating, being slow, resting, getting more sleep, being intentional with our time and our energy, because it's different. we don't have the same amount of energy, or we shouldn't have the same amount of energy in winter as we do in summer. The light changes that. And to deny that these things don't affect us is to deny the very makeup of who we are as humans. And it's something I've learned and understood as somebody who lives in the North, who is from the North, who was born in the North, and who definitely would say that I will probably have to have my ashes scattered somewhere in this world in the North because I feel so deeply connected to this place. And understanding the value that it brings to our life and the conversations that it can have. And today's newsletter is really about understanding that connection and the importance of a season in ourselves, and particularly winter, which is a season that so many people say to me, I don't know how you love it. I don't know how you enjoy it so much. It's the hardest year, time of the year for me. And I 100% understand that. And I will empathize with that forever because I was at one point in my life that even though I've grown up here and from here, like I have, you know, I ate the sand from the beaches here as a child, you know, it is in my very cell structure to be a northerner, but it doesn't mean that I haven't had my own struggles with this season. And I think I don't want to romanticize it and deny the fact that these challenges exist because they do exist. And I take vitamin D. I do all these things to offset those feelings of seasonal depression. But what I have learned about this season is that there is a, when we don't go through winters and we don't go through these times and we don't face the, and don't allow ourselves to utilize darkness for building intuition and resilience and connection to the darker parts of ourselves that sometimes we just don't want to deal with. I realize that we are missing a whole chapter and a whole story of our life and others' lives that is just, it's quite a shame to miss out on. And it's not about, and I wrote about this on Wednesday in my newsletter about these crystallized memories of holidays and traditions and how we can romanticize those things and they are beautiful, but they also can hang just as close to grief and loss and the darker stories in our life that sometimes we just don't want to talk about, and how traditions can create space to hold both of those things, that they can hold the beauty and the grief. And I think we just don't want to think about that. But what I've learned about winter is that winter is that space for those things to exist together. And we can have the warm light of the candle or the tree or the fire right alongside the darkness with the hungry wolf kind of feeling out in the woods, coexisting in the same space and being comfortable with the edges of that. And I love the vision of that too, and just how ancestral that feels and how far we've come from that and how important it is to find comfort with it again. And listen, I live in a modern home. I live in a very comfortable setting, but I really have learned how to over time balance the modernity of life with a connection to the instinctual parts of myself. And I just plan to pursue that throughout my life and find the depths of it, find the places I can grow and continue understanding this way of being a modern human and awareness and connection and empathy for the challenges of being modern human that have pulled us from what we've known. And I think winter, the discomfort with winter so many times lies in the fact that we're not adjusted to it. And so much of our life is so, like, it can be so medium. I don't know how else to describe that. We would prefer it to just be mostly comfortable. But what I've learned is mostly comfortable never allows you to feel peak joy and it never allows you to feel peak darkness. And we got to feel all those things in order to be human and to exist in this world. And we have to be able to engage them and leave space for them and be in lives with people and commune with people who embrace that feeling too. And that can be done in so many ways that fit our life. And so as we approach this time of the year, instead of fearing it and wondering and asking, how can I endure this? Instead, I want you to start asking, how can I fully be in it and to fully feel it? And I wrote to me, this is part of falling in love with self and nature and the coexistence of each other and how we walk parallel to one another and the way that nature can meet us and teach us and all sorts of things. I cannot explain sometimes how, you know, a lot of people ask me like, oh, can we go on a ski together? And I love that question because yes, absolutely. But I won't lie that I don't usually ask other people to go on skis with me or hike set with me because I need that time alone. Like, to me, that's my time to connect both with myself and with nature. And so as long as somebody's okay with being in that space with me and not over absorbing certain parts of it, I don't know how else to explain that, but I definitely, that space is something that I value. And in the winter, I find the most time for, because when I'm in the garden and working, gardening and in the soil, and there's a line of tasks in my head. There's like, okay, this has to be done. And then, oh, wow. Okay. The basil needs to be, you know, the line of tasks is almost too much every day for some of my, you know, other spaces that I need to be in, such as being a parent and being a writer and, you know, being a partner and a friend and all in a business person and all this stuff. And so I can lose track of that connection of nature. I can't always hear it as well as I can hear it in the stillness of the snow falling and watching and just being mesmerized by bands of clouds coming across the sky, from going from blue sky and sun to this gray low cloud that just brings a layer of snow that no weatherman could ever predict. And there's a reason where they're like, we could get 6 to 12 inches of snow. We don't ever know. So we were prepared for everything in the north, but I can't explain that. And so putting on those skis this week, I felt like I entered a state of hibernation that was necessary. And if you saw, some of you saw it, but Instagram's completely not in my control. And the 49,000 people who follow me probably don't ever see half of, or even 1% of what I post, I would assume. So I stepped away from Instagram the moment I put my garlic in the ground, because I immediately felt like, okay, the snow's going to fall. It's done. I'm done. It's time to focus on myself and pour myself into spaces that I actually want to pour myself into. Because like I said, energy is different in hibernation. And I've had moments where I'm like, oh, should I jump over there and post this, or, you know, tell people that I put this newsletter out or whatever. And I'll tell you, like, I'm realizing that's part of it. I'm realizing this part of hibernation is saying, I'm going inward and I'm not coming out for a bit. And it's going to be really hard at times to settle into that system, but I'm going to do it. And so that said, you can always reach me on email by going to just emailing me at seasonswithmegan, M-E-G-A-N, @gmail.com. Or if you're a close friend, you have my number. And yes, you can still ask me to go for a hike if you're a close friend, but, or a ski or anything like that. I'm totally up for that, but, or grab coffee, whatever. I'm always up for that, but I limit them every week. So, cause that's me, I'm an introvert. So anyways, I just wanted to really discuss some of that idea of hibernation and shifting our energy as we head towards winter. We are in the final days, in the next 6 weeks will be the darkest days of the year, even with sunshine. The days are the shortest and the nights are the longest. And that will reverse in 6 months. And when you think about the year in that way, that winter is actually only 3 months and summer is actually only 3 months. So winter to many people is too long and summer is never enough. But to me, winter is never long enough and summer is never long enough. Both of them have this longevity to them that isn't properly dispersed, and or maybe summer's too long. I don't know. I don't know. I go back and forth. Anyways, I'm digressing here. So anyways, in the newsletter, I discuss all of this like really in-depthly about like some of these conversations I'm having in my head. It's a pretty open-ended newsletter this week, and I probably hit the limit on the amount I could have written and everything. I'm just enjoying the state of hibernation. I'm digging into Substack. So if you want to follow my writing and you want to follow me, that's the space to follow me right now is my Substack. I am there. I'm sharing in notes once a day, like, but I'm also spending a lot of time writing. I have some projects I'm working on. I am also just being present with my life and the beauty of being out in the snow on skis is something that I will never have words for, I don't think. But what I do know is that falling in love, I should just read my thing, right? Like, because it's good. I'm just going to tell you it if I don't read it. So the reflection today that it was written on my phone as I was skiing. There's this trail off the road that it's mowed by some horse farmers, or they're farmers who race horses, and we get manure from them sometimes. And they cut these fields with trails, and I don't usually go as far back, especially this time of year with hunters, but I do. There's this one stretch that I love, and I just hope it never changes, but so goes life. I feel like these days in Leelanau County, or Northern Michigan, is that everything's being bought or sold. So it feels like it's all temporary in that sense. But I wrote this as I went through there. There was just, as being out in nature does, it just communicates a language to me that it talks to me. And it always has. It has since I was a child. But it's like as if now I understand it in a deeper way. Maybe I'm more complex and more open than I was as a child. And it just sounded different then than it does now. But I wrote this and I realized that you can fall in love in so many ways in life. And there's a real beauty to finding love with land and nurturing that as much as, because in some way it nurtures ourselves, but in this way that teaches us expansion in ways I think I'm just beginning to understand. And so this one today is the unconditional love of place. So I'm going to read it. As I skied through the untouched paths of the fresh lake effect snow around our home, I stopped, my heart beating and the sweat forming beneath my layers despite the brisk air filling my lungs. The contrasts of heat and cold were sharp and lovely. All around me was a field of sumac with its smoldering red fruit pointing towards the sky. The sun shone just a moment between bands of lake effect snow, and the fresh snow glistened just before the sun sank again behind the clouds. At that moment, I felt in my element. The older I become, the more I realize how we often cannot buy these feelings, but we can chase our passions blindly enough that they land in our laps and can slip away as easily as they come. It was then I realized I was in a love story, a story of love for this place, feeling the first flutter of a moment with someone you feel that jolt of electricity with. I was feeling that first eye glance of knowing what feelings are shared, but instead of with a human, It was the land. It was then that I realized the romanticism that comes with finding a love for the land and our place in its story, not just the land's place in ours. Skiing through the rolling hills, I heard desires for this love I had always felt but didn't know it could be more than it was. I realized then that I longed to have the same sense of wonder for winter as I have with summer and autumn. I wanted to gaze at the falling snow with the same gratitude as the blossoming of a flower, the multicolored leaves, or the ripe tomato. As I connected into the path of the coyote's footprints on the trail, I realized just how much I would rather spend my days chasing the icy footpaths of the deer and coyotes than the ladders and rungs of success. I have learned there is more wisdom in wandering the woods than chasing material things in this life. I began to feel this electricity through my veins as I marveled at the world around me and its silence and magic. There was something here that I never would find anywhere else. A connection, a feeling of comfort, a sense of place and belonging amongst these hills. Something only fulfilled by embracing the love I was feeling. I wanted to love this land not just for its beauty or the ways it holds me, but also for all the ways it is imperfect and needs me as much as I need it. Loving a person or place unconditionally is incredibly hard. We must be okay that it will be imperfect, not fit our expectations at all moments, have its own beliefs and desires, be okay with it being uncontrollable, and yet we find a way to trust it enough to give it all of us. For me, this is the romance that I find amongst the hills here. I can see it all. I can see it for all it is and love it in its perfection and imperfections. To realize I can never control it, but only trust it. The land teaches me endless things about how to love, how love is among the most precious of lessons it gives me. So I chase the wonder I feel on the trails. I find the beauty of this place as mesmerizing as the way it demands me to be aware of it year after year. How in some way we can coexist and trust and love, reciprocating the things we know we need, and most importantly, seeing the unspoken needs as only the ones we can both fully trust and not control can. I can't explain like what was coming over me in that moment as I was skiing, but there was just utter silence and just beauty in all that was right there in front of me. And I felt like I had come home in a way I hadn't been home in a while. And maybe that was both in self and in the landscape. I don't know. But I just think that there is something to falling in love with the very place in which we are called to exist. And that is home. And that love story and that romance can happen anywhere in life. And for me, that's Northern Michigan. And maybe for someone else, that's, you know, somewhere in Denmark or, you know, the southern states of the U.S. or in Patagonia or wherever. We all have those places and we have multiple stories and we have multiple love stories of place and land. But, and they might look different. Just like we can have those stories with other people in our lives, we can feel the same. And I think that's something that we've forgotten as humans now, that we can fall in love with place and the wild places around us in the same way we can fall in love with somebody else or ourselves or whatever that may be. Love is a very complex and interesting thing. And the older I become, the more I realize that. And the more I see it in the landscape. So it's something I hope you guys enjoy. I also have notes in this newsletter about winter solstice. This week I shared why we want to celebrate winter solstice or why we might consider doing it. And then next week I'm going to be sharing more like adult ways you can do this. And then the final week I will share some more like family related ways that you can do that and ways that we do it in our family. All of it is simple and really just about recognizing like ourselves, the people that we're with. And it doesn't involve the complexities of, say, Christmas, which maybe that's why I've leaned into it, because I just don't like all the complexity that comes with the holiday season. I think that it can be a lot. And I feel that ever more as a parent. And I realize, which is what my essay was also about on Wednesday, it was kind of twofold, was that the simpler things are really the things that we remember and that we hold and we cherish and we treasure. And the things that sustain us through our memories as children and things like that. So go ahead and head to the newsletter if you want to dig in deeper today. You can just go to megangilger.substack.com. I'm so glad you're here. Until then, my friends, I'll see you out there.